Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
So we're going to be talking about the drug lottery, first part of the show, and we have some other things in a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in Proverbs 20, where it says, "There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." And then if we go to Proverbs 8, it says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." Yeah, there's some things, you know, that you can't put a price on. And those are the things that God values. And we should be valuing that just like the Lord does. So let's get our priorities set on heavenly things instead of earthly things. And mind the time, it grows short, because the Lord is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in detail in the first part of the show. Hospitals are using a lottery to allocate scarce drugs. This is drugs that are in short supply. The federal government actually controls the distribution, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services tends to manage that process. So in some instances, hospitals have been forced to go to lottery in order to treat patients, you know. Roulette wheel, which is a roulette wheel of drugs. Moving along in the Quack Report, scientists developed AI programs that are using x-rays to detect COVID. So this is scientists at a university west of Scotland. They have created this supposedly earth-shaking artificial intelligence program that uses x-rays to detect coronavirus, the COVID thing. Yeah, it's faster than the PCR test, they said. Process uses an x-ray technology. The patient gets their x-ray of their chest, and the artificial intelligence program algorithm actually analyzes that study, comparing it to over 3,000 scans that belong to other patients that have had COVID. So they say it's a 98% accuracy. Chest x-ray. Moving along the Quacker, you're never really fully vaccinated. CDC is announcing a change in what they call vaccinated and unvaccinated. Here we go. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently announced some changes on how they detail or call or describe vaccinated against the COVID vaccine. The CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, said that the fully vaccinated will now mean people who have also received booster vaccines. And the agency is going to stop referring to these people as fully vaccinated, but instead they're going to be called people who are up to date with their vaccination. So that means if you recently got your second dose and you're not eligible yet for your booster, you would be considered up to date. If you are eligible for your booster but haven't gotten it yet, you would not be considered up to date. You get it? Last but not least in the Quack Report, the National Institute of Health is funding some new animal experiments in Texas to develop an Ebola vaccine. Yep, National Institute of Health is funding some new animal experiments in Texas for a vaccine for Ebola and other types of viruses, it says. The research efforts in Texas are to develop a highly profitable diagnostic and a vaccine for Ebola strains. The Texas Biomedical Research Institute, Texas Biomed, is what they call it, and the Southwest National Primate Research Center are getting together, and they're supporting the NIH's research for this program. The project is also supported by $4 million in grant money and the U.S. Economic Development Administration. Grant money. Oh, boy. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay. Let's talk about drugs and drug lotteries for just a little bit. That's right. In 2019, I did report that patients should, you know, start thinking about the likelihood that there could be significant, you know, disruption in the drug therapy supply chain. Okay. So we talked about it then. I don't know if you remember that, Frank, but we did. And we have been, you know, seeing more medications grow in scarcity in the last few years. And we don't really hear much about this problem, as it could produce probably mass panic, so over 130 million Americans take drugs daily to survive. That's a lot of people. That's 66% of the adults in America. And let's just take a look at the latest drug that's in short supply and see what patients might do. Well, it's kind of a shot in the dark to get some of these immune suppressive drugs. NPR Health News actually ran a report that some immune suppressant drugs are hard to find. The FDA approved Evans Held or Evanscheld, I guess that's how you pronounce it, Evusheld. It's a weird name. It's a monoclonal antibody combination drug, and it's in short supply. So this drug is made by AstraZeneca and is prescribed to patients with autoimmune diseases. And hospitals have set up lotteries now to distribute the drug because they just don't have enough of it. Hospitals that are engaged in the lottery are Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami, and Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. So the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services actually manages the drugs that are in short supply. And here's a quote from the report. It says, the government provides Evanscheld drug to states based on their total adult populations. The approach doesn't prioritize where the need is greatest, end of quote. What do you think of that, Frank? They just look at numbers, you know, census numbers, I guess. They don't look at, you know, how many patients in a state need it, which I think is crazy. You know, it's almost like back to the not having enough ventilators thing, you know, and it's just nonsense. But let's just jump back in time a little bit to 2019. We'll get a more detailed picture of what's going on. So in March 2019, the University of Chicago Medical Center issued an alert regarding results of a national survey on availability of prescribed medicines. And the health authorities were trying to improve on the supply line for these drugs, including even your genetic versions, generic versions, I should say, generic. So the problem is that many shortages have left hospitals and doctors' offices kind of blindsided because there was no advance notice. So this is a problem the government has in their supply chain they're managing. They don't make doctors aware, hey, heads up. They kind of blindside them a bit, and they don't get any notices from the drug companies either. So reports of hospital pharmacies rationing and even hoarding some medications has been the result since 2019. And there appears to be a lack of news, again, reporting on these shortages, and no one is prepared, basically. Pharmacy managers are reporting they have never seen the like of any of this. In some cases, there's no substitute medicines, leaving doctors with no drug therapy option. Well, let's look at the drug scarcity. This is according to a team of researchers at University of Chicago Medical Center. They said the goal was to determine how often the shortages occur and which hospitals are the hardest hit by the shortfalls. Well, according to their report and the national survey, the U.S. has about a little over 6,000 hospitals, of which about 950 are academic hospitals. And out of them, let's see, 81% of the U.S. hospitals were experiencing drug hoarding and shortages. That's a big chunk of hospitals in the United States, 81%. They said this suggests that hospitals that did have medication on hand would not release prescribed medicines to some admitted patients, specifically if it was the case of overprescribing. So who decides that? Also, the U.S. hospital pharmacy managers report drug shortages in about in the last 12 months. So I'm sure that the shortages have gotten more severe. Over two-thirds of the U.S. hospitals reported over 50 shortages, and one out of every three hospital pharmacies had no valid administrative mechanism in place to deal with a drug shortage. Wow. And they also said over 80% of the hospitals admitted to hoarding their medicines as a response to the shortages, and the report found the hoarding was worse in academic hospitals compared to community hospitals. Hoarding for who? You know, that's the question. So the report was published in the March 2019 Journal of the American Medical Association, your JAMA journal, if you want to check that out. And so, you know, what would be the rules on drug rationing? You know, there's a question. Who decides who gets the medications and who don't? Rationing. So, the JAMA article also stated that a team of ethic specialists are involved in looking into how hospitals plan to manage drug scarcity. Okay, so this was what, 3 years ago? We think they've accomplished anything in 3 years? Mm-mm. We're talking about the government here. National Institute of Health. The members of the American Society for Health System Pharmacists were sent some questionnaires on allocations during drug shortages, and out of about 1,100, only 65% responded, so only 700 of them got back to them. Now, of those that did respond, they confirmed the drug shortages of the previous year, and also it seems that drugs like cancer drugs, cardio drugs, were the hardest hit as far as having scarcity. The report also notes that during times of rationing the drugs, it was not information that was disclosed to the patients at all. Here's a quote from Andrew Mantel. He's a medical doctor. He's an ethicist at Fellow University of Chicago Medicine. He says, drug shortages are distressingly common. The American Society for Hospital Pharmacists has a running list of 226 drugs that are in short supply, and drug companies say they cannot guarantee supply continually, but there are no other suppliers and there may be no backup optional drugs. In severe cases, shortages required clinicians to decide which patients would receive medication and which would not. End of quote. Doctors decided that. Well, is there anybody got a quarter? Right? Do you just flip the quarter? Do you look to see who's an older patient? More frail? I mean, how are they deciding? How are they deciding that? So there's a kind of a ripple effect. And what happens in this whole system, the healthcare system where patients are kind of trapped in the system, and there's these drug shortages, here's the ripple effect that happens in the list of drug names on the shortage list. You can go to drugs.com to look that up. So there's a lack of drug therapy disruption in other areas of treatment as well. Drugs can delay procedures, surgeries, for instance, and other treatment protocols. Also increases in the rate of medication errors happen, as well as it impacts patient health outcome and also increases costs. You know, when something's hard to get, bam, that happened to me. Well, not in drug therapy, Frank, but in herb therapy. I was having trouble finding some herbs that are commonly grown in the United States, harvested here, you know, indigenous to the U.S., and all of a sudden, nobody has them. What? I said, what? I mean, I called around, you know, I'm very picky about where I get herbs, and I did find this one small outfit that had some organic herb that I wanted. And normally, you know, it's $28 a pound. But because it's so hard to get now, it's $127 a pound. See what I mean? What happens? So, you know, it happens in the herbal realm too. We got to stay on top of this, folks. We just have to stay on top of this. What'd you say, Frank? I didn't hear you. What? It's going to cost you more than a quarter. Well, I meant flip the quarter, you know, heads or tails. That's what I meant. Well, let's look at the generic drugs, because according to the FDA, the generic drugs are usually the hardest hit during a shortage. And the reason given is the manufacturing issues. Now, the FDA does not elaborate as to why more generic drug brands are affected, but here is the reason. When drugs come off the patent status and they're picked up and they're made by small overseas drug manufacturers who are not really regulated by the United States FDA, the facilities may not be up to the U.S. standards and equipment, and they have breakdowns, and there can also be a disruption in ingredient supplies. So drug manufacturers are supposed to offer a 6-month notice, or at the very least a 30-day notice to U.S. authorities if there's a shortage, But that's not happening. Well, because, you know, they don't have to. You know, it's common courtesy, but it's not required. I mean, these people are, you know, in another country making drugs. What'd you say, Frank? It's, the drugs will, you know, be like everything else we see, like in the USSR or Mexico. Pill costs $1, but there are $20 now. Magically, they are available, you know? Yeah, I mean, supply and demand. Absolutely. But, you know, you just don't know what you're going to be. You kind of, you know, taking a chance getting some drugs from overseas. But that's what's happening. And according to the research firm pharma.org, when there are drug shortages, the FDA makes compromises on expiration dates. Did you know that, Frank? I did not know that, but it doesn't surprise me. So shortages in the drug supply can result in a manufacturer having inventory close to the expiration or even past expiration, but all of a sudden it's acceptable to sell it. This is from Pharma Research. They say the FDA can work with the manufacturer to review and approve an extended expiration date when the manufacturer has data to support potential extension or expiration dates for their inventory. But the problem with this is that prescribed medications start to break down after the expiration date, and they tend to become more toxic when that happens. So this is not like, you know, a gallon of milk that may be good a week past expiration. That's not what we're talking about here. Well, and then, you know, what is Congress doing? Everybody looks to the government. Well, there seems to be a repeated occurrence of drug scarcity, and you know, Congress is concerned, has attempted to use some legislation to fix the problem. And the FDA provides Congress with supposedly annual reports and what action that is being taken to prevent drug shortages. And so far, the most the authorities have done is to try to improve on their early detection system when a shortage does occur. And this offers only advance warning, but does nothing to fill the gap when there's no substitute meds at all. So apparently, drug shortages is nothing new. But they're going to get worse, is the point. And according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, drug shortages have been a growing problem since 2001. And here is what they said in their report. This is, in 2011, November 2011, they said the U.S. is experiencing a rapidly increasing frequency of drug shortages, which have caused numerous difficulties for clinicians, healthcare facilities, patients, and the federal regulators. The shortages are due to many factors, including lack of raw materials, manufacturing problems, regulation issues, business decisions, etc. We need clear policies and procedures and collaboration with timely communication to effectively handle the drug shortages. Well, you know, what do you expect from the government agencies? I don't think you're going to get timely communication at all. So the current behavior from the FDA on the drug scarcity is basically the same as it was 20 years ago. So it looks like, you know, a lack of initiative to want to correct the problem, or that they simply will not be able to correct it. I don't know which it is. But according to the report by the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the Institute of Health, they provided that to the University of Utah Drug Information Research. They say a majority of why there are shortages is a mystery. Oh, a mystery. There's a reason for the shortage. There's probably no mystery at all. But that's what they're saying. Apparently, 55% of the drug shortages, they say, are unknown. Nobody's communicating, apparently, very well. So I guess the snapshot here, the takeaway here, is any drug dependency is not going to be good. Any person that has, you know, been prescribed what I call a lifelong medication to help support some sort of metabolic function is going to be in a very unpredictable situation of drug supply dependency. So there's at least 55% chance that the drug that you're on right now, and for some unknown reason, becomes unavailable. And if there's a substitute, great. But if not, oh well. So some of the most prescribed drugs are your cardio meds, your diabetic medications, your autoimmune disease formulas we just talked about, all of which have suffered a lot of shortages, setbacks. Pain medicines, too. Hospitals that have pain drugs have also mentioned they have, like, zero inventory on that. So now is the time I think people should, you know, take this seriously, educate themselves, maybe strengthen their system and have the option to get off that drug dependency. I would look into that. So anyone who understands chemical changes that drugs offer the body and understand that it weakens the body over time would probably be motivated to find a way to strengthen that system instead of weakening it and therefore not be dependent on the drug therapy. So if you want to know more, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have some information. They specialize in immune support, metabolic support, and detox. So if you want to get rid of the stumbling blocks, why the body's not regenerating well, that would be getting rid of the stumbling blocks. Because the responsibility, after all, is ours. We can't just throw that onto the white coats, the hospital staff. You know, you just can't make them the scapegoat for everything. They can't. They can't be responsible for everybody. So they can't be responsible really for anybody but their own selves. So, well, let's get responsible, and let's, instead of having disease, let's have wellness. We're going to decide that right now. And we have tools, and we have power. God says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie, so his medicinal herbs are pretty powerful. You want to check it out and find out? Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you their free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com if you want to check them out online. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. You get empowered and you take the power back. They have a free catalog and they also have money-saving coupons. Thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call, 866-229-3663. Ooh, I'm long in this break, so we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663. Or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
About the vaccine new trials. In February and September 2020, I actually reported on those microneedle Band-Aid patches science was developing for vaccine delivery. You remember that, Frank, right? And we reported that 4D printing of these patches with 400 microneedles were in the works. And science has been working on this for over a decade. Now, the 4D printing uses what are called smart materials, which are programmed to change their shapes after they are printed. So we're told that the material used is kind of a fourth dimensional type of material, and the material morphs after printing, which is kind of creepy to me. And we're also alerted that these delivery vehicles for these vaccines can have dye to mark your skin, confirming a vaccine was given. So seen only under infrared or black light, and the mark can't be seen by the naked eye. So they're called quantum tattoo patch vaccines, and they can store your medical history. And that was actually written about in the Journal of Geopolitical and International Relations. That was a published report in September 2020. So this research did get supported, obviously, by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And the MIT scientist that published how they did all this was in a report in the Journal of Science and Translational Medicine. So what they did is they used copper quantum dots to create what they call a on-patient medical record. The copper dots emit light in the near-infrared spectrum, and the dots are also encapsulated in this biocompatible microparticle-forming sphere, 20 microns in diameter. So this keeps the dye in place and hidden under your skin, and it looks like human trials are underway now for this microneedle vaccine patch delivery system. So we thought we'd check it out a little bit. Coming your way a vaccine in a Band-Aid, basically. Here is what was in the Journal of Geopolitical International Relations, September 2020. They said, Bill Gates and MIT researchers have discovered a clandestine way to record your vaccination history and store the data in a dye pattern or tattoo ink that is invisible to the naked eye and is all hidden in the vaccine. Yeah, so you get your little Band-Aid, right, Frank? And the little dye, the vaccine's delivered through the microneedles, and right behind the vaccine is the dye. Dye is the last to come out. And then it just kind of, you know, inks your skin under there so that they can just, you know, scan you with an infrared and see if you got your vaccine, if you're up to date on your vaccine, Frank. Yeah. This is from Advanced Functional Materials, January 2020. They said, our 4D printing tiny needles can replace the standard hypodermic needles. And we think 4D printed micro needles will allow for a robust and sustained use with minimal pain and ease of use. That was Howen Lee, professor, Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at the School of Engineering at Rutgers University. He said that. It was in the journal. Let's see. U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health said this May 2012, the new technology manufacturer of microneedles for intracellular injection to deliver drugs fully dissolve in your skin. This is an implantable, programmable polymer material. These are multiple walled carbon nanotubes. If microneedles are removed from the skin, micron-scale holes remain in the skin until medical resealing of the pores are done. Isn't that gross? They said resealing is a recommended option to avoid likelihood of infection. Mild skin irritation, swelling, and edema is expected. Well, sure, it's a puncture wound. Why wouldn't you have that? University of Pittsburgh presented their fingertip size Band-Aid containing microneedle vaccine. Clear and so light that most people wouldn't even know that they got it. You know, you could just brush by somebody and put it on their arm. Yeah. And you got vaccinated. The research on this fingertip bandage was actually published in August 2020 in the Lancet Journal. I'm telling you, your little index finger, the tip of your index finger, Frank, that's how big that microneedle Band-Aid vaccine device is. Tiny. Well, let's see. This is from University of Pittsburgh Medical Center and their life-changing medicine division, August 2020. They say an array of 400 tiny needles on a fingertip size patch deliver spike protein pieces into the skin where the immune system is strongest. Right. The patch, they say, is applied like a Band-Aid, and the needles, which are made of sugar and protein, will dissolve into the skin, delivering the vaccine. Spike proteins. Just like that. But there's problems, and we did talk about the problems last time too, Frank. So let's you know, highlight the problems. Microneedles aren't without problems, folks. The research, they've been dealing with the problems for a while, and the needles are not doing well when they stay in the skin. Okay, here is a report, U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, May 2012, that said the microneedles, they have a weak adhesion, which is a problem, and if you want to control drug delivery, this is a problem. They say the weak adhesion is also a problem for biosensing to detect DNA, enzymes, antibodies, and other indicators. So, but science is going to continue this work on this type of delivery system, supposedly in our best interest, to aid people that are afraid of needles, and also for, you know, helping children, you know, get vaccinated without them even knowing it, and making injections more comfortable. that's one of the way they advertise this. It's an attribute of microneedle Band-Aids is no more syringes. So the technology is being planned for dermatology, eye treatment, insulin therapy, drug rehab treatments, blood vessel treatments, and a whole lot more. I don't know. Do you think they're going to come out with an Ebola Band-Aid vaccine, Frank? Well, anything's possible with these guys. Just think, you could be in the hospital or the nursing home, and a patch of microneedles full of drugs could be applied while you sleep or without your knowledge. So some of the side effects of the microneedle patch were in study. What, Frank? Before I get into that, what? Won't they need an Ebola outbreak first? Well, I don't know. That may be a technicality, Frank. I mean, look at it this way. With regular influenza, before COVID came along, they rolled out the flu vaccines in October, which started the flu epidemic for that winter, because people were shedding off that virus for 14 days. That's in all the test trials for influenza shots. You shed the virus off for 14 days, so you contaminate people, you spread the flu. So, I don't know, maybe they could put Ebola in a standard vaccine and spread Ebola and then start a pandemic. Think about it. It wouldn't be that hard for them to do. I hope they don't. I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying it's a possibility. Now, the side effects of the microneedle patch in study were bleeding, swelling, fluid retention, bruising, infection, peeling, scarring, and pigment problems, skin pigment problems. So apparently the skin and the underlying tissue really doesn't like those needles. And no matter how small they were, especially if they remained in the skin for several days, delivering the vaccine serum, not the skin didn't like that. So healing after microneedle drug therapy can take 6 weeks, according to the research. So to cut down on the possibility of infection, the new research in 2019 said that they used silver-coated microneedles. U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health said June 26, 2020, using quantum dots to target COVID-19 with increased drug release profiles, caution should be exercised, they said, to avoid retinal filtration and other side effects, or renal filtration. So renal means kidney. Kidney. Side effects to the kidneys. Mm-mm. With quantum dots. Well, so all this research for these small Band-Aid needle vaccine patches has now begun January 10th, 2022. Human trials underway in Switzerland using COVID-19 microneedle, you know, Band-Aid vaccine patches. The difference here is that the serum that they're going to pack into those microneedles will not, they say, will not access RNA technology, but it will be based on cellular immunity for antibody action. Mm-hmm. So they have 26 volunteers who will be given two doses, with the second dose being a stronger dose, and the volunteers will be evaluated for 6 months, and these microneedle vaccine patches have been developed by a British pharmaceutical company called Emergec Vaccines, and they hope to release these to use in the public by 2025. This research did not elaborate on dye markers or microchips. So don't know if that'll be added later. I have no idea. But you should be aware of this stuff, because the technology is moving so fast that it can, I mean, you can hardly keep up with even understanding the full use of, you know, any intended use of technology. It's, I don't see where Americans, you know, can just like say, oh, well to this stuff. I think, you know, you're beginning to see the light here, and some people are starting to ask questions, thank God, and they're rejecting Oops, just dropped something. They're rejecting untested treatments. A lot of people are. And they're standing up against this stuff because they look at it as an assault on their health, and rightly so, I think. So the planning that has gone into this event that we're in has had to have been a massive planning event and has to have taken decades to plan it and produce it. So just stand your ground. Honor your conscience. Now, your conscience that has not yet been seared is still connected to God. Do you know what it is to have a seared conscience, Frank? The Bible talks about it. Here it is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and Romans 2. It says, the Bible speaks of a seared conscience. The conscience is the God-given moral consciousness within each of us. If the conscience is seared, literally catheterized, then it has been rendered insensitive. Such a conscience does not work properly. It's as if the spiritual scar tissue has formed and they have a dulled sense of right and wrong. Uh-huh. Yeah, so reprobate minds, basically. You know, we don't have two sexes anymore, male and female. You know, how many do we have? 100? That kind of thing, right? That kind of thinking. So, well, God's solution is, you know, he's not left us defenseless in this difficult time, because prayer is very powerful. Don't neglect prayer. But also, God has left us herbs in which he encourages us to use to protect our health. And Proverbs 31 and Genesis chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 6, Psalms 104, Revelations 22. So God can't lie, and his word is light and life. Trust in him, because his written word is never going to die. It's eternal. That promise is eternal. So, and he who trusts the Lord is blessed. That's also written in scripture. So if you want more information on these medicinal herbs that are here, even the Ebola inhibitors, okay, hemorrhagic fever, there's herbs that inhibit that. Gentian root is one of them. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. You'll have tools. You'll have information. You'll be spectacularly powerful. That's what I think. Most people don't realize they can do these things for themselves. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Give them a call. Get a free catalog. Jump on their website, thepowerherbs.com. If you get a chance, if you have email and you want to get their newsletters, you can sign up there. The newsletters are for free. And you can get those newsletters with empowering health information each week. And it's free. Let me read you a quote from one customer listener. Says, you saved my husband from the dreaded virus and avoiding the hospital with your wonderful products. Wendy Copeland, Methine, Massachusetts? Methethine? Anyway, thank you. I appreciate you sending that in and encouraging us all. Because that's what we need. We need encouragement. We need to help one another, encourage one another. That's what we're supposed to do. So, God's herbs are good. I think they're the best kept secret, pretty much. And it makes sense. You're in an evil world. Wouldn't the devil want to suppress anything that would help you? Yeah, pretty much. All right, we got a few minutes left over, so we're gonna talk a little bit about depression, what science now saying can be linked to sleep apnea. A lot of people have depression and they have sleep apnea, but they're not making a connection. And until recently, doctors weren't making a connection. So, you know, if you're having depression and you're waking up in the morning with a headache, you may have sleep apnea. If you have really loud snoring, it means you have sleep apnea. Now, here's the other thing. If you have insomnia, the insomnia could be linked to the same thing that's causing the sleep apnea. It's your thyroid gland. So a lot of people, you know, they'll go get a thyroid test, and it's okay. But somewhere, somehow, that thyroid is not making the hormones for neurotransmitters for your brain to regulate your sleeping cycle and your breathing when you're sleeping. So Rutgers University did a whole research report on that. So let's look at some of the depression signs. You have sleep disruption, appetite changes, maybe weight gain by about 5%, fatigue, energy loss, concentration problems, decision-making problems, memory issues, and maybe even suicidal thoughts. So depression usually brings a lot of those symptoms. And in our American culture, we tend to kind of tiptoe around people that are depressed. And you may know somebody, you know, at your work environment, or, you know, that person is given kind of special considerations. So obviously there are protocols and policies that most businesses have in place to handle these delicate types of issues, because they want the best for the person who's suffering from a clinical disease. However, as with most things, there's really there's a lot of room for abuse there. So I once knew a middle-aged adult who suffered from manic depression and refused counseling, refused drug therapies, not that I'm a big fan of that, and just refused flat out any treatment whatsoever. And this person did nothing to address their mental behavior, and this forced others to have to put up with that behavior. Okay. Statistically, 37% of adults with depression don't receive treatment at all. 6% are on medicines only, and fewer than that receive any treatments for medical guidelines. So here's a quote from this was in a show, High Fidelity, a character named Nick Hornby. This kind of highlights what I'm talking about. Quote, the character says, "It's brilliant being depressed. I can behave as badly as I like." End of quote. And that's kind of what it is like in a lot of situations, not all. So drug therapies, no picnic, actually. A lot of the antidepressants, like Prozac, for instance, made by Eli Lilly, they mess with your neurotransmitters and basically act like an anesthetic on your brain. So Prozac produces the same effect on the body as amphetamines, and because it increases your adrenaline level, and when you increase the adrenaline level to such a high level, it kind of anesthetizes that part of the brain where you have things like empathy. So people that are typically on a lot of this stuff don't care. They just don't care. They don't care they're depressed. You know, they're still depressed, but they just don't care. So Prozac essentially burns out a lot of your organs because they can't keep up with the abnormally high production of adrenaline. Okay. So some people that take this stuff too long have an inability to read, inability to write, inability to hold a thought long enough to keep a job, and have a loss of comprehension. So always do your homework on your drugs. Take your drug name, type it into your search engine. After the name of the drug, type the word side effect. Links will come up. Try to find the one for WebMD because it'll list the common and rare side effects on that drug. So a lot of times people are finding out they or a loved one has a drug-induced disease. One lady, her mother, had a drug-induced Alzheimer's, and once they got her off the drug, the Alzheimer's went away. So dementia can be drug induced. So be aware of your drugs. But there's this condition link. This was in a Journal of Psychiatric Research in June 2019. The Medical College of Georgia at Augusta University found that there was a link between depressed people and sleep apnea. So this statistical connection between these two it also affected blood pressure, cholesterol, heart rate, and depression. They found that Also, people in these situations may be slightly overweight as well, by maybe 14%, and they could be considered clinically depressed, but also 50% of them had sleep apnea. Okay, so I can understand that if you're not, your brain's not getting enough oxygen-rich blood during your sleep, why wouldn't you be depressed? So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. When you fix the thyroid, you fix the sleep apnea, you fix the sleep apnea, you can fix the depression, according to Rutgers and Medical College of Georgia. So the powerherbs.com, they have a sleep apnea pack. It's amazing. Works really quick. You can read the reviews up there on the powerherbs.com. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Very popular product. People reorder that when they have to. But, you know, just get that nutrition going for the thyroid, and it'll balance itself out, and you just won't need a CPAP machine or anything else, or, you know, antidepressants, hopefully. Thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663, and give them a call and visit them on the web. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.